and welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, coming to you from the Eastern Plains of Colorado. Son Daniel in studio with me today, as is Mike Cheney, Director for Christian Home Educators of Colorado, on a snowy May day. Friends, we're in the middle of May. This is not a rerun. This is middle of May 2011. I got a foot of snow behind me, and the snow is still coming down, Mike. You had a little snow in your property some 20 miles north of us, didn't you?
Yeah, we had just about a foot. We woke up this morning Incredible. And were amazed at the winter time is not gone yet.
We were singing Christmas carols this morning.
Yeah, we sang Joy to the World.
Christmas carols
yesterday
in May. Christmas carols in May, friends. Amazing. Colorado's weather is a real amazing sort of thing. Sometimes you've got some good weather. Sometimes you've got some bad weather. But whatever, it's God's blessing. I tell you, we need a foot of snow out here. Our trees are going to need that moisture for the next couple of months. And that's going to help the fire situation as well. Well, ladies and gentlemen, in the news today, we have some bad news. And, of course, we hit the bad news from time to time. Hey, we are witnessing the downfall of Western civilization, the breakdown of the faith, family, freedom in the West, in Western states like Colorado, as well as in Europe and Canada and elsewhere. We're seeing the breakdown of the Christian faith. The Presbyterians now have approved ordination of gay people or homosexual people after 33 years of debate. Now, this isn't every single Presbyterian. What we're seeing is the breakdown of the Christian faith. We saw that in Europe in the 15th century, 16th century. Then we had a little slight reformation that yielded a little more faith for the next century or two. But after that, we started to see the mainline denominations in America give way to a massive humanistic approach to ethics, a humanistic approach to metaphysics, a humanistic approach to epistemology. That is, we're not going to trust the Bible for truth. We're not trust the Bible for ethics. We're going to trust the gods of the marketplace as they come in and tell us that pigs have wings and other beautiful things, such as men marrying each other and adopting children. Same thing with women and doing things that the Apostle Paul calls unseemly in Romans chapter 1. Or in Leviticus chapter 18, you find that the Bible requires the death penalty for a man who sleeps with a man as he would sleep for a woman. That is biblical law. The Bible has always been very, very, very strong against homosexual activity. And friends, we're not talking about some exception for the committed. That doesn't appear in Leviticus 18 or Leviticus 20. No. What you see there is if a man sleeps with a man as he sleeps with a woman, the two have committed an abomination. They both shall be put to death. It's pretty clear, pretty hard to weasel around that one. But the PC USA, and this is important, friends, because this is the Christian heritage of this country. This country is formed upon the Presbyterians in the 1700s, many of whom came over during the reinstatement of Charles II, James II, and during the persecution, the killing fields of the Covenanters in the latter part of the 17th century. They came to America, and they became some of the most important founders of this nation. The Presbyterians were the rock-solid foundation. The Christian faith was founded upon Presbyterian ideas in the 1600s and 1700s, and now this is what you're seeing: massive, an unbelievable apostasy. I wonder what Jesus thinks about this. After 33 years of debate, the PC USA has voted to change its constitution and allow openly homosexual people in same-sex relationships to be ordained as ministers, elders, and deacons. It happened with the Lutherans, happened with the Anglicans, now with the Presbyterians. The Methodists are right now apparently just wavering on this issue. The Methodists are the last of the mainlines to give way to this one. But friends, we're just about done with Christianity in the West as the mainline denominations topple over into some of the most egregious assaults upon the faith we have seen since Elijah. Mike, I mean, you think about the history of the Christian church. At what point did the Christian church give way to sins like bestiality or incest or homosexuality, which all were some flavors of death penalty crimes in the Old Testament? You wonder what other era in 2,000 years, no, 3,000 to 4,000 years of Christian Jewish history, what other eras have we given way to egregious sins that are at this level? I mean, we're not talking about rank and file people committing capital crimes. We're talking about ministers or pastors committing capital crimes and being approved by the denominations. I can't think of a time since Elijah when they sacrificed their children to Baal, which is an ungodly thing. The Bible spoke very strongly against that in the Old Testament, so please don't do that. PCUSA, maybe the next thing on your agenda, but you know, please try to stay away from child sacrifice to Baal. Of course, many of them have approved abortion as well, which is a form of child sacrifice to the materialistic idol of the day. But Mike, I mean, here's what's happening. We're seeing the breakdown of the faith. I honestly think this is pretty much the worst news for the Christian faith, or at least for those who profess to be believers in Jesus Christ and evidently are still hanging on to the Trinitarian doctrine, the Nicaea, Chalcedonian creeds, and these sorts of things. But here you've got the breakdown, and probably the worst, the most egregious since Elijah.
Well, you know, there's nothing new under the sun, certainly, and these things have been going on for a long, long time, but not to this degree, not to this level, and not focused directly on the leadership of the church, where churches now ordinate people who label themselves proudly with one of these sins, these terrible, terrible sins. And what amazes me, just to bring this forward, is the lead line in that story says that it's after 33 years of debate. That tells me two things. One, it tells me of the focus that this concentrated minority of people have been able to bring to bear over this amount of time. The second thing it tells me, which is even more tragic, is after 33 years, the leadership of the church has been unable to teach their people the gospel message.
Well, they're going
to teach them the word of God.
They're going to come back and say, now, wait a minute, we're getting on to more important things like the gospel. Let's forget about all this homosexual stuff. We don't need to talk about that. What we really need to talk about is the gospel of Jesus Christ. But of course, I get back to the fact that I thought the gospel of Jesus Christ was about Jesus coming to die on the cross for our sins and to save us from our sins, Matthew 1:21. I thought Jesus came to save us from our sins, and I thought sin was the transgression of the law as defined by John in 1 John. I thought that the whole idea of Jesus coming was to save us from transgressing the law of God so that we would love him and keep his commandments. I used to think that was the gospel, but evidently people want to get onto the gospel and forget about all this sin business, forget about all this law business, and get onto the gospel. Whatever that is, whatever that is. I think people have lost a concept for the gospel, Mike. I don't think they know what the gospel is.
No, they don't, and that's the point of this 33 years. That's an entire generation of people who have sat in the pews listening to their pastors and elders teach them who knows what.
Yeah, yeah. Here's a quote from Reverend Grady Parsons, the church's stated clerk. All of us are surprised, he said. He attributed the turnabout in the votes to both the growing acceptance of homosexuality in the larger culture and to church members simply wearying of the conflict. And I think I understand what he's saying. I'm comprehending this. People are getting tired of the conflict. I mean, I know people getting tired of the conflict over evolution, over feminism, over egalitarianism. Tired, beaten down over all these debates over whether these women need to be dominating in the homes, dominating in the businesses, dominating in the churches, whether or not homosexuality is a sin, whether or not we need to be debating over the evolutionary origins of man, or whether Adam was a real person, or what have you. Forget about all this debate. Why can't we just all get along? Okay. Now, as you know, I'm referring to a homeschooling contention that happened. A certain convention or a certain set of conventions decided to bring in those who were very open to the idea that Adam was not a real man, that Paul was an idiot. And Paul didn't know what he was talking about when Paul was talking about referring to Adam as a real man in the New Testament. And these inspired prophets of God didn't have a clue what they were writing about, because now we have the gods of the marketplace telling us that they know better, that a human being evolved out of a rock by some mechanism that nobody's been able to define or prove in a laboratory, and there is no fossil record to discover how in the world this might have happened. All of the missing links aren't there, and so forth and so on. But trust us, the scientists know everything, and the Apostle Paul was a total idiot. Now, you have that viewpoint that is being brought into the Christian home education movement now. It's coming in. Ken Ham was kicked out of a couple of conferences this year because Ken Ham has taken a very strong stand against that position, and he maintains that the Bible is the inspired word of God, and he doesn't want to see the absolute epistemological authority of God eroded by 1,000 qualifications, which is happening by very, very smart seminary professors, please understand, and university professors who have their PhDs. And they know, trust them, that rocks turned into human beings by a mechanism they can't define.
and that the man hammered himself out of a rock with a hammer and chisel,
yeah,
which we don't know where they came from.
Yes, yes, yes. So, Mike, people are tired of this. People are tired of this. You and I are in the conflict. We are in the conflict. And we stand up against these compromises and evolution and feminism and the ordination of women in the churches and homosexuality and on and on and on. We've been fighting these battles and fighting these battles because we want to retain something of the absolute authority of God in epistemology and ethics. And we believe that if you erode that by 10,000 qualifications, then in the end, God is not God anymore, and you lose the faith. That's how you lose the faith. And we're doing what we can to fight this battle. And you know what? We may have to fight till we die.
Oh, I'm sure we will. You know what? We get tired of it as well.
Oh, man.
But yeah. The Word of God is the Word of God, and it is clear. And he also told us that this would be a fight, yeah, that it would go on, but that we were not too weary of it,
yeah,
that we were to keep on.
And our friends, many of our friends will compromise. They will compromise and compromise and compromise. And yet, we've got to stand strong. We have to continue to emphasize the absolute centrality of God in epistemology, metaphysics, and ethics. And may God help us as we continue these battles in home education and also in the salvaging of the faith in the 21st century. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back in just a moment to talk about more bad news. I hate to say it, but oh, man, there's some good news and some bad news about it. But the issue of adultery now is coming out. And I think these two issues are related. Homosexuality, adultery are both treated as, hey, whatever, in the modern age. But we're saying they're both death penalty crimes in the Bible. Some sins of themselves and by reason of several aggravations are more heinous in the sight of God than others. Homosexuality and adultery are the very worst. They're akin to murder when it comes to a biblical ethical construct. And unless you use a biblical ethical construct, you are going to lose the faith. And I think we'll lose our civilization unless we come back to the standard of God's law, which means that even the evangelicals are going to have to take a very strong stand on God's law, or they will become irrelevant to the faith and for the battle of the faith here in the next 20 to 30 years. So we're going to stand strong on a biblical ethical construct today as we make some rather judgmental, rather define statements concerning the sin of adultery. Be back in just a moment. This is Kevin Swanson. Folks, believe it or not, this is our eighth year on the air. Our first broadcast was October 3rd, 2003. From the beginning, we produced the program as a commercial endeavor, and then 2 years ago decided to rely entirely on listener support. And by God's grace, we're making some progress. But this is fundraising month. Each year during May, we target 100 sponsors to keep us on the air for one more year. And we're hoping that by God's grace, we will be on the air for one more year. If you find the ideas helpful on this program, if you receive some discipleship, some encouragement yourself, please consider supporting our program. We know that we have about 500,000 listeners a year from 80 countries around the world. We have people in Sweden, Ireland, Australia, England, many of whom have no other encouragement for the kind of ideas they get on this program, but they get it here on Generations. They're encouraged every day by what they hear on this radio broadcast from my basement out on the eastern plains of Colorado. So if you listen to the program or watch us, you know what we're all about. Family, fathers, freedom, faith, home-based discipleship, family-based economies, relationships in a cold and lonely world, worldview and discipleship, truth and relationships, a vision for future generations. That's what we're all about. And we are so privileged to get the very best speakers, pastors, fathers, Christian leaders in the country talk about worldview and family issues. Folks like Mike Farris, Ken Ham, Vody Baucham, Al Mohler's been here, Paul David Tripp, R.C. Sproul, Phyllis Schlafly, David Noble, Tim Challies, Nancy Percy, Wayne Grudem, Sam Crabtree, and Dave. Dave Buhner, he's a regular on the program. Well, folks, we don't get a lot of psychobabble flim-flam on this program, because we don't want to raise up more weaky-weaky fruits for generations to come. Our desire is a vision that will cast for future generations and will encourage and inspire many generations and hopefully rebuild faith, family, and freedom during the breakdown of Western civilization. That's what we're doing out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado. If you'd like to support the program, just simply go to our website, kevinswanson.com, and click on support the program and join our fundraising campaign for May. Our target is 100 sponsors for the month of May, 100 sponsors for the month of May at $10 a month, $20 a month, or $50 a month, or even a one-time donation. Friends, if you would like to support the program, kevinswanson.com. That's kevinswanson.com. And welcome back to the Generations Radio broadcast on a snowy May day. And friends, today we're talking about what's going on in our world around us with the affirmation of things like homosexuality and adultery. And this comes from Mother's Day. Evidently, 52,684 moms were looking to cheat after Mother's Day. And evidently, the whole reason for this is because AshleyMadison.com has a site that encourages adultery. Moms feeling underappreciated by their families as Mother's Day turned to an unlikely source to console them, a dating site, according to the company with the slogan, "Life is short, have an affair." A significant percentage of these women from Mother's Day are looking for an emotional connection, said Noel Biderman, president and founder of a controversial matchmaker site, AshleyMadison.com. If you sign up for a service like this and a day later you have six people interested in you, that's a revalidation of a time when your partner paid attention to you in that way, on and on and on. According to the site, 52,684 moms nationwide signed up Monday, day after Mother's Day, to take advantage of its one-day offer for free messages. This was a 321% increase in traffic initiated by female members and a huge boost from the average 3,000 women who sign up for the site on a daily basis. 3,000 a day, 3,000 a day, Mike, 52,684 signed up on Mother's Day. Boy, that's one of the sickest articles I think I've ever read in the history of this program. These people want to commit adultery. According to somebody they've interviewed on this story, I can't even tell who it is, somebody named Carmel, but even if an unhappy mom was caught cheating, it couldn't affect the monetary award she'd receive in a potential divorce settlement. According to Carmel, she said in a divorce proceeding, adultery is irrelevant to whether someone will pay maintenance or alimony. Folks, today, adultery, no big deal. That's all she's saying. It's not a capital crime, evidently. Evidently, it doesn't even play into an alimony settlement for some divorce. Apparently, it doesn't really play. Now, it does play into a cause for divorce in a ecclesiastical trial. A church should allow for a divorce in the case of the innocent party when the other party has committed adultery against them. Now, that's biblical, but the guilty party has no right to continue in that lifestyle and shouldn't even remarry. The Bible says that if you remarry, that is an additional act of adultery in the eyes of God. Now, see, God considers these things important. The average person today doesn't think adultery is that big of a deal. I mean, who cares? Changing a marriage is like changing tires every 3 to 4 years. Mike, I don't think it's any big deal for the average person. They don't really give a whit. The children don't care. They haven't been raised by moms and dads. They've been in daycare since they were 2 years old. They don't know who mom and dad is. They've been fragmented. The family's been fragmented for 4 or 5 generations. Now people don't care anymore. The family is a mere shadow of what it was in time past. And so just changing a partner now and then, changing a spouse now and then, it's no big deal. There is hardly any covenant or any respect for covenant in these marriages anymore anyway, because the family is a lost cause. I mean, Dave, I think, or Mike, I think that's what's going on in the minds of most people. Why would 52,684 mothers sign up on a site that says, hey, we're all about cheating here. We're about encouraging you to commit capital crimes. Why would these mothers do this?
Well, I think it's two reasons. Number one, people don't care anymore. They have not been taught. The Word of God is being thrown out of societies and thrown out of families on a wholesale basis. And so marriage has no meaning in terms of what people are looking for to make them, quote, happy or to fulfill them on a short-term basis. Mm-hmm. And they throw out the effect of the consequences on these acts that they do. Secondly, the society that we live in as a whole encourages them to do so, that this is about making yourself happy. You need to do something for yourself. You need to be pleased with yourself. And after all, this is only sex. This is only recreation. This is no big deal. And that's why sites like this can now be in the forefront. These things like this, activities like this, 50, 100, 200 years ago, used to be reserved for the shadows, the back rooms, et cetera, et cetera. Now they're right up there with the rest of society as just another activity. Go to a baseball game.
Yeah.
Go to a hotel and have sex with someone who's not your husband or wife.
Yeah. WorldNet Daily whistleblower just came out with an article on the history of homosexuality in America, pointing out that George Washington wouldn't allow it in his army at all. And would discipline these guys with certain disciplinary measures. I can't remember exactly what the disciplinary measures were, but they did refer to the fact that a number of states in America still held the death penalty for sodomy up into the early part of the 1800s. So, I mean, just, 200 years ago, this was death penalty crime. But now, not so much anymore, because, see, we're in a new and improved age, and it doesn't really matter what happens to the family. You commit homosexual acts, and nothing will really happen to you and your social situation will continue to go on in a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful way. But I think what they're forgetting is that inevitably the gods of the copybook headings with terror and slaughter return. And that's about ready to happen. I mean, the next, I'd say, couple of 1, 2, 3 decades, we're going to see the unraveling of civilizations because we have abandoned the family as an important unit, social unit. It's the basic social unit. Of course, now 42% of kids are born without fathers, up from 6% in 1960. And they're betting on the fact that that's a cool thing. They're betting on the fact that we don't need parents. All we need is governments raising children. And who cares? It's not going to do anything to the character of the nation. It's not going to break down the economies. It's not going to break down the social fiber of the nation. They're betting on that. They're betting the entire ranch on it. They're betting the nation. No, they're betting the world on this one, because this is certainly an international issue today, and there's only a few African nations that still take a position against homosexuality, and they're just backwards nations, and they don't have a clue. They don't have a clue. They don't have a clue. But I'll tell you what, Mike, I think that inevitably we're going to discover that these gods of the marketplace were dead wrong, and this is going to be a little experiment in the dissolution of the family in the 21st century. But there are some families that are going back to the Word of God as the standard and saying, hey, the family as a social unit is essential, absolutely essential. Don't break it up with homosexuality. Don't break it up with divorce. Don't break it up with adultery. Interestingly, and this is the good news on this adultery bit here, Mike, this is a story from the Denver Post, came out a couple of days ago. Evidently, a bid to repeal the Colorado adultery law died in committee by a single vote. And the same thing happened to the civil unions bill. You remember in the Judiciary Committee in the House a couple of 3-4 weeks ago, when we had a couple of people down there testifying to the history of the homosexual issue in Colorado. And one of our friends pointed out that the first bill that outlawed sodomy in the state of Colorado was passed exactly 150 years ago, outlawing sodomy. He pointed it out, and that bill, that civil unions bill, failed by one single vote in the Judiciary Committee that day. Well, the same thing happened with the Colorado adultery law. They tried to repeal it. Legislation to repeal a Colorado law prohibiting adultery narrowly failed in the House committee Friday amid arguments that lawmakers would be sending the message that fooling around is A-okay. Legal scholars, constitutional law professor at George Washington University, believes a 2003 U.S. Supreme Court decision striking down a Texas sodomy law renders adultery laws unconstitutional. He said about 24 states still have such laws on the books. It's quite disappointing, if not embarrassing, for Colorado to affirmatively retain these types of laws, Turley said. These laws harken back to an earlier period where a majority of citizens claimed the right to impose their values and morals on their neighbors, as they have for about 6,000 years, except for the recent experiment that we're trying for the next 10 or 20 or 40 years until these homosexuals die out and the family has been obliterated, with the exception of a few people who are retaining a civilization for the year 2045. Well, as it turns out, the measure failed by a 6-7 vote in the House Health and Environment Committee, with 5 Democrats and 1 Republican voting in favor, 6 Republicans and 1 Democrat voting against. Representative John Kefalas, he was a Democrat from Fort Collins, the lone Democratic vote against the bill, said he didn't want to get involved in people's bedrooms, but also did not want to condone adultery. Said that might seem contradictory. I just know I don't support adultery, Kefalas says. So apparently there's still somebody out there says, I don't support adultery. By the way, let me just say this. When it comes to the implementation of moral law, biblical law, Matthew 7 is a very, very important principle. One of the reasons why you can't outlaw things like fornication and adultery today, and the reason why it's not going to make it through the Supreme Court, is because the majority of people who lead us in these committees and in the courts have committed fornication and adultery themselves. They've knocked up some woman when they were 20, 21 years of age, and they never repented of that, and they continue to break this law in some way, shape, or form themselves. If you've got the majority of people sitting in leadership somewhere, the majority of them have committed the crime. Say, for example, bank robbery. Let's say you had the majority of Supreme Court justices, the majority of the Judicial Committee members in the House here in Colorado who had committed a bank robbery on the previous Saturday. They've done it over the last couple of years. They've robbed banks themselves. If you've got the majority that robbed banks, they have no position where they can legislate against bank robbery. The same thing applies to adultery, homosexuality, et cetera, et cetera. Once you have a nation that has gone wholesale down this area of sexual sin, there's no way you're going to get any kind of a civil law against these things because they're going to violate the judge not lest ye be judged. The same standard by which you're judged, you will judge others. That standard will be used against you is the principle given in Matthew chapter 7. So, Mike, what's happening here is the nation itself is corroding. And it's possible you have one or two Democrats here and there and a couple of five, six Republicans here and there who have not committed adultery themselves yet and would still consider it to be a sinful and an egregious act against a marriage, against a family, et cetera, and they might continue to stand against that and rightly stand against it. The problem, of course, is that you have so many people that have gone down the road of free sex since the 1960s, and they've just broken God's law in this area, in the area of fornication, the area of adultery, in the area of homosexuality. They have no position. They can't. They literally cannot stand against it in the civil sphere.
Which is why God's word is so clear about leadership and who we shall raise up as leaders.
Yeah.
They must be men above reproach for the reasons that you've just stated. One way that I've heard this characterized is the difference in definition between the word freedom and the word liberty. Freedom, in the biblical sense, is normally referred to as that boundless lack of standard, lack of boundary, freedom to fall, freedom to destroy oneself, freedom to do whatever one wants to do in their flesh. There's another term which is used in the Word of God and which is used in our founding documents for this country, and that is the word liberty. Liberty means that it is under guidance. Yeah. It is under guidance from wisdom, from the wisdom of God Almighty, such as a group of sheep who are in a pasture around which there is a fence which protects them from all of the bad things on the outside, the dogs, the cars, the other things that can befall them. But within that pasture, they have complete liberty to eat, to be in that pasture, to go where they will, in obedience and under guidance of and under the wisdom of their master. And that's the difference. We scream today on a wholesale basis for our freedom. We don't need freedom. Freedom leads us to destruction. What we need to get back to is liberty under the lordship of Jesus Christ.
Yes. And Mike, I'll tell you what, without self-government, you're not going to have the liberty that God gives us,
promises us in His word.
We've got to control ourselves. We've got to live according to the principles of God's word. And you start undermining the morality of the nation, you're inevitably going to be ruled by tyrants. As Patrick Henry said at one point, it is when men forget God that tyrants forge their chains. And that's what's happening right now. Tyrants are forging our chains everywhere because we have become one of the most immoral people on the face of the earth. We have the weakest families in the Western world here in America, according to Rutgers University. We have the highest divorce rate. That is, we break covenant, we break covenant, we break covenant. Doesn't mean anything to us here in this country. And by the way, here in Colorado, Wyoming, Montana, we have the weakest marriages. We have the highest divorce rate in America right here, which means that some of us are going to have to fight back for keeping covenant. Some of us are going to have to start reestablishing godly marriages, and husbands and wives have to cling to each other with everything. They've got to continue to build strong families and eventually strong churches out of those families. And that's what's happening here in Colorado. And it's difficult. We're carving something out of the rock here. We're some healthy trees that are growing out of the crevices of the rocks, which happens here in Colorado all the time. But we're getting some life here in Colorado. Thank God there is something going on here with stronger families, stronger marriages happening here in the state of Colorado. And out of that, we hope we'll form strong churches. And one day, by the year 2040, 2050, 2060, we might be able to reestablish strong communities and some strong civil governments that will secure our freedoms or our liberties for the years to come. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the worldview that I bring to bear in my book, The Second Mayflower. I would encourage you to grab a copy of my book. It presents a social plan, a social program, a social direction that is distinctively biblical for the future of this nation. I believe there is a shot at freedom, at liberty. I believe there's a shot at reestablishing families during the dissolution of families and freedoms in the modern day. And if that's going to happen, it's going to happen on the principles of God's social systems laid down in His Word. And I bring all that to bear in my book, The Second Mayflower, A Vision for the Next Generation. Grab a copy of my book, The Second Mayflower, at kevinswanson.com, where you can hear this program anytime, anywhere in the world. That's kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.